Morning, ladies. Last night I was talking to 3- and 4-year-olds, so we'll see if your attention span is a little bit longer. Okay, so we're going to get right into it. So we were asked a while ago to pick a topic of women in the Bible, and I thought I'd pick something that I hadn't really thought about much, and I decided to talk about the parable of the 10 virgins. So let's read it together, and then we'll go from there. Okay. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." But while they were going out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Okay, so we're going to start by what is a parable. And a parable really is just a simple story to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. They teach a great truth, present a challenge to the hearers to change their behavior. So I don't know if you guys are like me. I love a good story. And I find, especially with nuanced truth, stories can just be so helpful. So Joyce said I had extra time, so I'm going to go off script a little bit. So the last 2 weeks, I've actually been quite sick. And thankfully, beforehand, one of my friends had told me about these wonderful things called Korean dramas. And I don't know if it was the pain medicine, but I cried, I laughed. And then as I was thinking, as I finished up the one that I got deep into, you know, there were so many truths, really, from the Bible. In it, there was faithful devotion, there was waiting and love. There was even in this one, like, of course, there's, like, the rich woman, but she was trapped somewhere, and her business managers, there was a difference between the corrupt ones and the faithful ones that dealt well with her financial things, which is actually the next proverb, which we don't, the next parable, which we don't have time to get into. But I was like, you know, there's so much in a good story. And that's because God created us a certain way. We long for devoted love. We long for faithfulness, for courage, all of these things. And parables are one way that sometimes truths that are kind of nuanced that God can speak to us through them. So that is part of the parable. They're meant to be thought over, and even things from our lives, they bring out, and it's to teach us things. Now, this parable is a cautionary tale. And why warnings? You know, I love all the encouraging things in the Bible, but sometimes warnings are hard to take. And, you know, we can think, why can't we just have sunshine and cupcakes? And it's because we tend to forget what's important, and not everything in life is light and fluffy. So 3 reasons: we tend to have blind spots to important truths. We tend to get distracted from what is truly important and needs our focus in life. Oh, I just said 2. I thought I had 3. Okay. Now, we've been studying Genesis on alternate weeks from this with the Bible study. And how many warnings did God give Adam and Eve in the garden? How many? One warning. Do you know how many warnings I give my two little boys on a daily basis? Last night, there's other moms to help with our preschool ministry, and we were talking about snow blowers, and now a hockey puck flew out one time, and, you know, warning your kids, don't go out with the snow blowers on, it's dangerous. So we have a million warnings, and why do we warn, especially as mothers, why do we warn? It's because we love our children, and we especially tell them a lot when they're teenagers. I'm only saying this because I love you. Okay, so now, so that's about warnings. Now, this parable starts with then the kingdom of heaven. And if you look at Matthew, so in the other gospels, they often use the kingdom of God. In Matthew, it's often the kingdom of heaven. But the idea is the same. And many of both John the Baptist's words to us at the beginning of Matthew and then a lot of Jesus' parables are about the kingdom of heaven. So Joyce, that was such a good hymn. I don't know where she went anyways. Because it's like, joy to the world, the king has come. And a king comes with a kingdom. So it's really the rule of God in our lives. And it's an eternal kingdom. And one day, God will come and he will rule and reign in all goodness and truth. And we're looking forward to that. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it's such a good thing to think about on your own time. So these stories are unpacking, so Jesus is giving us stories and parables to unpack the reality of God's kingdom. So in this parable, we have two types of virgins, and I'm going to start calling them bridesmaids because that's really what they are, and I have a really hard time saying virgin. It's a very, and it, like, I don't know, I also get a bit embarrassed saying it. So, there are five wise bridesmaids, and there are five foolish bridesmaids. So, our first lesson, it's a hard one, is basically don't be foolish, but be wise. Be prepared for the good things to come. So I looked up, foolishness is to be lacking in good sense or judgment or discretion. And wisdom shows experience, knowledge, and judgment. And then just a verse that had come to mind with reading through Proverbs was Proverbs 14, verse 8. And it tells us and warns us, the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his or her way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. So I just thought about that. So the foolish bridesmaids were kind of deceived. They thought everything would be okay, that they, you know, they just, I think they just didn't even think about the extra oil. They would just weren't prepared, whereas the wise ones were. Okay, so these women were anticipating and preparing for a big event. And in this case, it was a wedding. They were actively waiting. So that's probably the big idea out of this parable to me, was just that idea of active waiting. And there are many things in life where we have to actively wait. So I know in our house, at times we've had a baby's room, and you actively wait for a baby to arrive, or you're actively waiting for a trip or for a wedding. And when I was preparing, I was looking in our kitchen. So I have this lamp, which I've never used as a lamp. Actually, my kids use it as a Lego prison. So I just can't get rid of it, and it's beautiful. And my aunt got it for me when I got married. So it's my mom's sister, and she's quite a hoot. Anyways, but my Aunt Kathy, she got it for me. So I don't know if any of you remember, but in 1998, there was a monumental ice storm in Quebec. And so my aunt was without power for a very long time. I can't remember what month of the winter, but it was in the winter. It was awful. So many Quebecers, it left millions of Quebecers in the dark, some for over a month. So my aunt said, she gets me and she's like, I want you to be prepared in case there's an ice storm. So I just can't get rid of it because she said that to me. And the jail thing is actually really cute. It is perfect. But here's the thing, ladies, that just it just hit me as I was thinking about this parable. You know, this parable isn't about preparing for a natural disaster. It's not about preparing for bad things. It's about preparing for a wedding. So there's a big word in that for us. This is really a parable about, I don't even really like this word, but FOMO, which is, do you guys know what the soccer means? My teenagers had to tell me. Fear of missing out. There is going to be an amazing celebration. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, like more than the coronation of, I'm going to lose his name, King Charles. More than any of that, it is going to be amazing. And we don't want to miss out. In fact, Jesus has another parable about people being invited to this wedding. And there is a warning in that we can fritter away our time on very mundane and just the things of life and forget about the glorious reality in the spiritual realm that the good King is coming and we want to be ready for him. So we want to be ready for this glorious event. And one other thing I just thought about is that marriage is a covenant. It's a promise of love, devotion, commitment, and loyalty with a companion and friend. And we should just remember that Christ is this for us. God never fails. You know, we live in a culture, part of the reason I said I'm watching a Korean drama, a lot of dramas within our culture I feel like are very jaded now, if I could be honest. We're becoming kind of a jaded culture in a lot of ways where some of the big ideas of faithful love and commitment, and some of that's from pain, but God is faithful and we can trust him. And I just want to ask you all, are you in shalom? I just love that word, and it just means, are you in total peace with God? You know, Jesus came because we weren't in shalom. And he brought us back into peace with God. He took, our sinful hearts, just in that we were forgetful of what God had done for us. We were mistrustful. We were even, slanderers of God. We just didn't honor him. And God drew us back through Jesus. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice in dying in our place. So let's remember who the bridegroom is. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's magnificent. He's the champion over death and the grave. He's the good shepherd of us, the sheep, and he's the light of the world. So he is awesome. And if that's all you remember, is just we really want him to come back. And our minds can't comprehend the joy and the glory that awaits when his kingdom comes. Okay, so this parable compels us. As we wait for God, we need to be wise. I listened to a parenting broadcast on Focus on the Family this week, and it was talking about important characters to cultivate in our children or teach them about. And she has a book I've ordered, I haven't read it, but she has 47 important character traits. But she said, if you really want to boil it down, there's three important ones, and I think I'm getting this right. I think it was broadcast this week, so you can listen to it if you want on Focus on Family and see if I'm wrong. But I believe it was humility, generosity, and then this word I had to look up, which is self-efficacy. Can anyone say it the right way? Say it again. Ekphasis, yes. I have a bit, I sometimes struggle saying words the right way. So it's kind of that idea of knowing, like having the motivation to do the right thing when you need to, because you can't always do things for your kids. You can't do everything for your friends. You know, we just, there is that within us. I just realized I jumped ahead from my last point. But in this story, you know, these bridesmaids were friends, but the wise bridesmaids couldn't provide the oil for the foolish bridesmaids. Each one had to have their oil. And I just think that within us, we need to be cultivating wisdom within our own lives. And so I just thought self-efficacy, that it's just a good thing. It's sort of, you know, we always struggle for words to explain a concept, but just that concept of how am I preparing for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming back. And this made me actually think, it was actually a choir, we were singing one of the songs, there's Suzanne, we were singing one of the songs, or maybe one of the readings. I am on pay meds, so I'm a little bit, actually I'm always like this, so I just want to blame it on that for now. I just started thinking about the wise men in the Christmas story. And I just thought about how they paralleled the wise bridesmaids. They were attuned to the coming of the Christ. You know, they didn't have all the details about the birth of this great king, think kingdom. They didn't know all the details, but they sought him out at great effort, and they welcomed and honored him in wonder and awe. Now, I want to contrast that to the leaders in Jerusalem. They had been entrusted, tells us in Romans, they had been entrusted with the oracles of God. So they had years of heritage and tradition and inspiration from God of the scriptures. And they knew that the Messiah was coming. But they were blinded, in my opinion, by ambition. Like King Herod was very much blinded by ambition and the pride of life. And they missed it. In fact, they went to the other extreme of not just missing it. They were seeking to destroy the Messiah. And they missed the arrival of God with us. So instead of rejoicing and receiving, they raged and ravaged and sought to prevent his coming. So I just feel like there's a lesson for us in that, in the mystery of God coming again. Okay, so now we're going to talk a little bit about the oil. So in this parable, the wise virgins, bridesmaids, had stored extra oil so that their light would endure. So in this, Jesus communicated that the wait for his return might be longer than expected. Now, what do we do to endure? Now, oil is a fuel to sustain light, like wax in a candle or a battery in a flashlight. It's an external source. So God, for me, the oil, one thing I thought of was the person of the Holy Spirit. He's called the encourager, and the beginning, so the E-N on encourage, is from the Greek, and it means within, in, to cause, to be. And then courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear. So the Holy Spirit is the encourager. He gives a source of power that comes outside of us. I think I've mentioned this here before, but with Cubbies, which is our preschool program, I had to do the day of Pentecost, like talking about that. And I just kept thinking, like, why did God send flames of fire on the people that received the Holy Spirit for the first time? And it just, I was just like, that, it just seems a little odd. And I just thought about it and thought about it. And then I just got thinking, you know, fire is a source of energy. And we need a source of energy to endure that is beyond what we have within ourselves. And I'm sure most of you have had times where the Holy Spirit just encourages you to continue in a way that we don't have in ourselves. And that is a gift from God. And we need to praise him for that and cling. We're to abide within the Holy Spirit's presence, and we need that life-giving power. God has also provided us with other gifts and helps to endure and thrive. And the first that I just thought of was the light and life-giving word of God. You know, God created the whole world with the words of his mouth. And there's something of power within the word of God. It's a mystery. And it's a powerful thing. And we have the written word of God. It's good to listen to it, to hear it, to study it. And it does, I know for myself, it brings me to a level that I just do not have on my own. And so encouraging. And then the second gift God gave us was the church. And this is through worship and communion, which is remembrance. And part of this, I think, is just in the waiting for the bridegroom to come. We need to remember. And it's just an exercise that we need to do. And then fellowship with other believers. And then the third, and it goes with just talking about the Holy Spirit, but it's just prayer in the Spirit. You know, when we're struggling, when we're discouraged, we need to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit's help. So those are just some insights that I got from this parable. And I just want to close with two kind of longer passages of scripture. And I'll try to read them slowly so that we can just sort of think on the words that God has given to us. So I'll start with Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, think of our parable, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll also remember Jesus' promise to us in Revelation 22, and I'm going to read parts of that. And this is Jesus speaking. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. And that's a good word for us. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Now I'm just going to close in prayer to our great Father before Linda will come up to dismiss us. Does that sound good? Okay, let's just pray to God. God, you are the Alpha and Omega, and we thank you that you have established your kingdom first within us and within our hearts. And Lord, you are the treasure of great price. Thank you that if we are thirsty, we can come to you and drink. And that you have welcomed us as your children into your home. And Lord, I pray that each woman would accept that gift that is given to us in your Son of shalom with God, of peace, of forgiveness and wholeness. And Lord, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit that gives us a power that we can have through you. I pray you bless each woman here. Lord, you love us more than we can imagine, and you have treasures, the treasure of you and of your glory and grace, more than we can imagine. But open our eyes more and more to see your glory and to live in awe of you. Lift up our eyes, Lord, to you. We pray all this in your Son's most holy and righteous name. Amen.